This morning, I want you to turn to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19, we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 10, and I might even just go beyond that. Sometimes you just never know. You just never know. Luke chapter 19, verses, we're going to look at verses 1 through 10. I trust that you brought your Bible this morning. If you don't have a Bible, there's a Bible provided for you there in the pew, somewhere along that the back of the pew. We encourage you to take that copy and open up and read and just read along. As I share this morning, I always like to have the folks reading right along with me in scriptures. This is a story about Zacchaeus, and all Christians are familiar, or should be familiar, with the conversion of Zacchaeus, and it's a wonderful testimony about the changing power of the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 1 it says, "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus." Now Zacchaeus means pure, which was the chief among the publicans. That means he was a tax collector for Rome. He was a Jew, but he was tax collecting from the Jews to pay to Rome. So so it wasn't a popular occupation among the Jewish folks. And the Bible says, and he was what? Rich. He was rich. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, shall we? Heavenly Father, this morning, Lord, as we have another opportunity to come and to fellowship in your word, Father, we thank you for each one that's come this way. We pray, Father, that the Holy Spirit would minister to our hearts. Father, first and foremost, we come and we ask forgiveness for our sins. Father, we know that we failed you in so many ways this week. Father, the Holy Spirit moves upon our hearts to do this or to do that. And Father, we're so hesitant about going out of our way to respond to the moving of the Holy Spirit, to do the simplest things, Father, that can bring honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. The simplest things, as in the children's sermon this morning, Father, praying for one another, encouraging one another, Father, saying we're sorry, Father, to one another when we feel that we've hurt someone's feelings or whatever. Father, these are things that the Holy Spirit moves upon our hearts to do, and yet, Father, so many times we just will not go out of our way to respond to the moving of the Holy Spirit. And so, Lord, this morning we just thank you for each one that's come this way, Father. We ask your blessing upon hearts, Father, that may be hurting or suffering in some way, spiritually, physically. There may be folks suffering financially. Father, whatever the burden is upon the heart this morning, Lord, help them to realize that they can bring all those cares to you, Father, because you care for them. Lord, this morning we pray above all things that if there's one here that doesn't know you as a personal Savior, never made that personal commitment to you, Lord, today would be the day that they would open their heart and receive you as you stand knocking upon the heart's door. Father, you'll not drag any one soul into glory. Father, you will knock, you'll invite, and yet that soul has got to make the response. Father, has got to be willing to respond to your outstretched hand. Father, help them to realize today that your arms are still outstretched. Your hands are reaching out to the lost and the undone of this world, Father, before it's everlasting too late. Tomorrow could be the last day that your arms will be outreached on this side of the great tribulation period. And so, Father, today, if there's one here that doesn't know you as a personal Savior, we pray that the Holy Spirit would so move upon the heart that they'll move and they'll open that heart and receive you, Father, into their life. And Lord, there may be Christians here this morning who have made a commitment to you, Father, but have fallen short of those commitments. And Lord, they're not happy anymore. They don't experience the joy of their salvation. And so, Father, I would pray too that today that the convicting power of the Holy Spirit come upon them too, that they'll repent, Father, and that they'll step back, that you, Father, will put them back on that road that leads to service to thee, Father, and that leads to a happy and a joyful existence here on this plane as we wait upon your coming. Father, we rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray only this morning, Father, that the Lord Jesus be lifted up. We ask these things in Christ's name and for his sake. And all God's people said, amen. I often think of this recorded event in the life of Zacchaeus as the story of two men going out of their way to accomplish a great task. Two men going out of their way to accomplish a great task. Let me ask you this. I know that there were folks here yesterday morning who had gone out of their way to be here at the church. There are many other things that they could be doing, many other activities that family activities they could be involved in, but they went out of their way yesterday to come here to the church and to work here at the church for a goal, for a greater goal, a goal that that is going to hopefully bring more young people into our church family, that will open up doors to where our community will have an opportunity for their children to come and to learn about the Lord Jesus Christ. Willing workers, people who are willing to serve and willing to sacrifice, willing to go out of their way to bring honor and glory to the Lord Jesus by bringing young people to the Lord Jesus. And I do appreciate the adults, even those adults who may not be in the youth, may not be on the youth committee. You know, I appreciate so much the youth committee, but there's also other adults who may not be or are not a part of the youth committee, but they come too. They want to help out. They want to be a part of the goal and the dream and the vision that our youth directors, our youth committee has. And so I appreciate them for going out of their way this week. Maybe you went out of your way this week as the Holy Spirit moved upon you to call somebody maybe somebody needed some encouragement. Maybe you responded to the moving of the Holy Spirit. You picked up that phone and you called those people and you tried to be to reassure them in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have many folks at Powhatan who are shut-ins who need a phone call, need a visit. Maybe the Holy Spirit moved upon you this week to pick up that phone and to call. Maybe the Holy Spirit moved upon you this week, as I know He moved upon many this week who responded to His moving by getting up from or going out of their way to go to nursing homes and to minister there and to share with those folks. People going out of their way for the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you been going out of your way for the Lord Jesus Christ this week? Have you gone out of your way at all for the Lord Jesus? I'll tell you this, a lot of people go out of their way to serve the devil. They go out of their way to serve the devil. In fact, they're more excited about serving the devil than they are about serving the Lord Jesus Christ, and they claim to be Christians. They claim to be Christians. But I can tell you this, you can be a Christian, but the devil can use you in a powerful way for his service. He certainly can. You, as you purport to be and claim to be a Christian, and then you go around backbiting and chewing up other people and criticizing other people and mocking other people and so forth, while you're just tearing down other Christians. You're just destroying other Christians. And the devil just loves it. And then you're standing back here and say, well, I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. Well, I'll tell you what, that kind of Christian I'd like to have outside the doors of a church instead of inside the doors. But the devil has his workers inside the church. They're never happy. They're not happy about anything. Unless, of course, they're in the limelight. You know, the limelight. If they're in the limelight, then everything's all right. But once they're not they're not the center of attention, why, there everything in the world's wrong with the church. Everything in the world's wrong with the leadership. Ah. Go out of our way for the devil, but we will not go out of our way for the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, that's the most important thing. You're going out of the way for the Lord Jesus Christ. You're being willing to sacrifice. You're being willing to practice humility is what the treasure is that's going up into heaven. That's the treasure that's going to be there for all eternity. But I can tell you this, the service that you give to the devil is it's going to be burned up. It's going to be burned up. Jesus is headed for Jerusalem. He's headed for Jerusalem. He's coming from Samaria, yet he goes out of his way, as the Bible says, to pass through Jericho. You know, that's kind of like you and I wanting to leave Raleigh and go to Benson. So instead of leaving Raleigh, coming out of Raleigh, hitting 40 and going straight down to Benson, we decide, well, we're going to come through Clayton because, well, we're just going to go out of our way. Somebody over here in Clayton needs a ride. Somebody over in Clayton needs some encouragement. Somebody over in Clayton may need some kind of a service or some kind of a encouragement or something from us. And so instead of going straight to Benson, we come through Clayton. We go the long way around. We go out of our way. Well, Jesus here has gone out of his way. He's gone out of his way. And let me tell you this, buddy, he really went out of his way for you and me. When he died on Calvary's cross, he didn't have to come down out of glory. He was God in human form. He was God sitting up there. He created all things, and yet he just decided that one day he was going to step, because the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. The Son stepped down from glory came into this world as a little babe, lived and taught us about how to be obedient to the Father, how to respond to the things of glory. And then he went to Calvary's cross there to die for our sins. He went out of his way. He didn't have to do that. You know? He didn't have to do that. But here, the Lord Jesus is going out of his way. On his way to Jerusalem, he's going through Jericho. Christ has always been the one to go out of his way for others. He went out of his way to meet a Samaritan woman at a well. He went out of his way to bring a man's daughter back to life. He went out of his way to cleanse a young lad of his demon possession. And he went out of his way when he came into this world and went to Calvary's cross for you and me. The Lord Jesus could have written us off forever. But he didn't give up on us. He left his throne in heaven to come into this world and to go to Calvary to die there for you and me. He went out of his way to save us. And here in the scriptures this morning, Christ is going out of his way to meet a heart that is longing to see him. You know, in our Sunday school lesson this morning, as Connie was sharing so wonderfully, and I appreciate our teachers, our Sunday school teachers, and let me just say again, if you're not coming to Sunday school, if you're not participating in the Sunday school program, you're missing a tremendous blessing. We have Bible teachers here who love the Lord Jesus Christ, who love to minister, who love to teach, and if you're missing out on the first hour of our worship here at the church in the Sunday school program, you're missing out. You're missing out. Connie was sharing this morning from the lesson. And one of the things one of the points about the lesson was that every individual is going to give an account for his evil way, his sin. Every individual is going to give an account of his sin. Your father is going to give, or mother, or they're going to give individual accounts for their sin. You, I don't care if your mom and dad were a drunk. Let me just share this. Let me share this example. I grew up in a home where my mom and dad drank alcohol. So I felt like, you know, it's okay to drink alcohol. So my father and mother didn't teach me about the Lord Jesus Christ. They weren't against the Lord Jesus or anything like that. But their example was an example that I learned. So and they smoked. And so just for a couple of years, I mean 16 probably to 18 I smoked, and then I couldn't handle that anymore. But their example was drink, enjoy the alcohol, smoke if you want to smoke. But do you know what it was that drew me away from all of that into the kingdom of God, that really pointed me to the Lord Jesus Christ? Was the testimony of other Christians. Was it your testimony? Your testimony. Others' testimony. Our families may have terrible sins in their life. They may be setting poor examples for their loved ones. And their loved ones, as they grow up, if that's the only example they see, they're going to answer for their sin. But you, as a Christian, can be that one light that they see. You can be the instrument in their life that God uses. God uses you to minister to this particular soul so that they will come away from their sin, so that they'll receive Christ as Lord and Savior, and that they'll come into the kingdom of God. God uses you. So it's important for us as Christians, when the Holy Spirit moves upon us, to go out of our way, because there's a lost soul there that needs to hear about the Lord Jesus Christ. There's lost souls. They're not getting the Christian testimony in the home. They're certainly not getting the Christian testimony in the schools. Where in the world are they going to have an opportunity to hear about the Lord Jesus? Well, if you're their friend, if you're a work companion or a work associate or whatever, you have a wonderful opportunity of presenting the Lord Jesus Christ to a lost and dying soul. But I can tell you too, you also, as a Christian, have also the opportunity to destroy forever a person's desire to know the Lord Jesus Christ, or to know your God, the way you live your life, the way you practice serving the Lord in this world. Christ has gone out of his way to meet a heart that is longing to see him. Many hearts in this world are lost and undone without the Lord Jesus. And many hearts probably might be in your community where you can be of great witness and testimony to them. So let me begin again. Verse 1, it says, "And Jesus entered in and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. Being rich is not a sin. There's no indication here at all that Zacchaeus came about his wealth by deception or dishonesty. In fact, Zacchaeus may very well have been the publican that Christ talked about in the previous chapter, that's chapter 18, standing afar off from the temple, beating upon his breast and praying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. You remember that? I mean, you can turn right back. You can turn right back to chapter 18, and you'll see that here a Pharisee, God shares about a Pharisee and a publican who went up to the temple to pray, and the Pharisee stood up, and boy, he just applauded himself before God. Oh, God, I'm so thankful that I'm not like these other miserable folks. And yet he was just as lost and undone without the Lord Jesus Christ as any other human being in the world. But he was applauding himself before God. And this publican, a tax collector, he just went, he wouldn't even go up to the temple. He wouldn't even go up too close to the temple. He stood afar off and he said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And I'm going to tell you something. That's a prayer that every soul ought to be praying. Every soul that has not come to know Christ as Lord and Savior ought to be praying that prayer. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Will you remember that the thief on the cross, when he was on the cross, two thieves on either side of the Lord Jesus Christ, and both of them railed on the Lord Jesus. If you be the Son of God, get yourself down and get us down off this cross as well. And then finally, the Lord Jesus says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And you know that comment changed the heart of one of those criminals hanging on that cross. He said, you know, he looked at his other comrade across who was still railing on Jesus, and he says, you know, we deserve to be here. We've committed crimes that the penalty that we're facing today is a just penalty. So what did he say? He looked at the Lord. He said, this man has done nothing. And he looks at the Lord and he says, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He confessed his sin. He confessed the fact that he was deserving to be where he was at. But then he went to the Lord and he said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And so what did Jesus say? Well, listen, in 20 or 30 years or in 200 or 2,000 years, when I come back, I'm going to bring you into my kingdom. Is that what Jesus said? He said, this very day will you be with me in paradise. Guy had never gone to church, probably never tithed to the church, never went, did one good deed. Maybe his whole life was full of miserable, poor deeds. And yet he looked to the Lord Jesus Christ and he confessed his sins and he looked to the Lord and he said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. God, have mercy upon me. That's what the publican said. That's what the publican said in chapter 18. So Zacchaeus could very possibly be that very publican that Jesus was telling the story about. And if this is true, then we have God responding to the sinner's prayer. We see God in this particular chapter right here, in this particular these verses, responding to that publican's prayer. Jesus went out of his way to come to Jericho, and so now Zacchaeus goes out of his way to see the Lord Jesus. Doesn't he? He has to go out of his way to see the Lord Jesus because the Bible tells us he's a little short fella. And you know, I don't make fun of little short people. Because there's somebody that's taller than I am. And if I, you know, what you dish out, well, it can come right back to you. I'm happy with the way God made me, by the way. I'm perfectly happy. I'm not intimidated by people that are 6 or 7 feet tall. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. You know, I'm perfectly happy. God, you use me the way I am. And I tell you what, he can accomplish more with me the way I am than he'll ever accomplish with me trying to stretch myself to be 7 feet tall. I don't know where that came from. But Zacchaeus is going to go out of his way to see the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, some Christians are perfectly satisfied with Bible study, reading the scriptures in church, but they don't go out of their way much after they leave church to be in God's Word during the week. But you know, that's kind of what Zacchaeus is doing here. He's heard about the Lord Jesus, and he even knows that Jesus is coming. But I mean, as far as his attitude, you know, he could be one of those, well, let me just get on with my work and not worry about it. But he's going to go an extra mile. He's going to climb up in that tree so he can see the Lord Jesus. One of these days, you and I will see the Lord Jesus face to face. My, what will that be like? Could be today. Could be today for some of us. Verse 3 says, And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up in a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. You can almost feel in your heart Zacchaeus' great anticipation of seeing Jesus as he waits balanced upon a tree limb. So Jesus is coming his way, and from the place where he's seated on a branch, Zacchaeus will get a good look at this miracle worker named Jesus. Any moment, Jesus would be passing right underneath him. How excited he was. What great anticipation. Here he comes. I'll be able to see him. I'll be able to see him. You know, Moses wanted to see the face of God, and God said, you can't see my face and live. But I'll tell you what I will do. I will hide you in the cleft of the rock, and I'll let my glory pass by you, and you will see the back, but you will not see the front. To see the front, to see the face of God, a person could not live. And by the way, which brings us back to the point about Jesus coming into the world as a little babe, stepping down from glory, going out of his way. If God had decided to roll back heavens and just come the way he was, why, he'd kill every one of us. Because his glory, I mean, I'm so thankful that he decided to come into this world as a little babe. That's the only way we could receive him. That's the only way we could be able to learn from him, is that he take upon himself human flesh. That's what the Bible says, that God, the Word, stepped down from glory and clothed himself in human flesh and came into this world. What does Emmanuel mean? God with us. Amen. God with us. I'm so thankful that he came into the world that way. I lost my train of thought, but I'll pick it up. I'll find it again. So here's Zacchaeus with great anticipation waiting for the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh yeah, Moses. Moses wanted to see the face of God. He couldn't do that. But you know what? Zacchaeus is about to see the face of God. He is about to see the very face of God. I'm so thankful that God went to Calvary's cross, because that's what makes it possible for you and I one day to see him face to face. You can almost feel, and let me just share again, you can almost feel in your own heart Zacchaeus' great anticipation of seeing Jesus as he waits balanced on the limb. And so any moment Jesus would be passing right underneath. And he was greatly excited. But you know, in this sanctuary this morning, Jesus is present. He is. He's present right here in this sanctuary this morning. He's passing by every pew, listening to every heart, reaching out to every need. But we must be receptive to his presence, anxious for his touch, and open our hearts to his healing power. I don't know what burden you might be carrying this morning. I believe that there are people here this morning that are carrying burdens. I'll tell you, there's people here who have uplifted hands because they have personal burdens upon their heart that they want us to be praying for. And I believe that this morning the Lord Jesus Christ is moving among the pews, seeking, the Bible says, true worshipers. You can be sitting here thinking about this afternoon, thinking about, the Women's Auxiliary, and many are going over to to visit with the children's home today. They're going out of their way. You know, there's plenty of other things they could do this afternoon, but they're going out of their way to go over there. And we could be thinking about that the pizza that they're going to have over there this afternoon. But God goes among the pews, and he looks for true worshipers. We must be receptive to his very presence with us this morning. Are you excited about Jesus coming soon? Are you excited about that? I am. Well, I'll tell you what, and I'll guarantee you the people in the Middle East who are Christians are looking desperately for the coming of the Lord Jesus. Oh, that we as Christians could be as excited today with the anticipation of Christ's coming as Zacchaeus is waiting on a limb of a tree. Zacchaeus could almost feel the ground moving under him as the crowd drew closer, voices shouting, people singing, and children laughing. And then there he was. Verse 5 says, and when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, you know, I'll tell you, how would you like the Lord to come knocking at your door today? Say, Jim, good to see you. I came to have lunch with you today. You know, some of us might really be excited about that. Some of us might not. Suppose Jesus came knocking on your door today. How receptive would you be to that that visit? J. Vernon McGee makes the point here. He says, Jesus didn't stop at the mayor's home. He didn't stop at a Pharisee's house, nor did he enter into any other prominent person's home, save that of Zacchaeus, the publican. God's not a respecter of persons, and I'm thankful for that, like we are. We are a respecter of persons. You know, even as professing Christians, we have that attitude. We have that respecter of persons attitude. There's some people that we're perfectly willing to talk to about the Lord Jesus Christ, and there's other people that we'd soon leave well enough alone. And even in the church, there's folks who kind of respecter of persons, you know. They'll talk with some, but they won't talk with others. And by the way, that suppresses the moving of the Holy Spirit in a church family. It suppresses the moving of the Holy Spirit in the church family. If we can't get along one with another, if we can't be love one another, well, the Holy Spirit's going to have a hard time working in this congregation. God's not a respecter of persons. He's not a politician like so many times we are. God looks upon a man's heart. He knows that a man is lost without him, but rather than spend time on the negative, he rejoices in the anticipation of what the man can be. And when he saw Zacchaeus just outside the temple, and when he saw him running ahead to climb the tree to get a better look at him, he came to abide in his home. The wise men traveled for a long distance to see the face of the newborn king. Yet when they arrived in Jerusalem and spoke with the Jews, there's no record that and you might remember, you might keep this in mind. When the wise men came seeking the newborn king, do you remember that when they finally latched on to where the newborn king was to be born in Bethlehem, did you know that there wasn't one priest, there wasn't one Pharisee, there wasn't one church educated individual, Bible educated individual that went along with them to see the face of the Lord Jesus, the newborn king? Nobody went. Well, they knew the scriptures, but they didn't go. They knew that the Messiah was supposed to come, but they didn't go. That's church people. That's church people. These wise men, not even Jews, and they traveled for almost 2 years, maybe. What did they ask? What was the key? Well, he's probably 2 years old. He's probably 2 years old. So these wise men had seen that star, and buddy, they started moving. Church people went no place. They didn't have any desire to see the face of the Lord Jesus. Not one Jewish leader that day was excited about seeing the face of Jesus. The one publican who they hated and despised, he was anxious to see Jesus. And Jesus will abide with the one who is willing to open their heart to him and to welcome him into their home. Verse 6 says, and he made haste and came down and received him. How? Amen. Amen. If Christ were to knock on your door today, would you be ready to receive him into your home joyfully? Zacchaeus had no idea that Christ would be coming to his house that day. But I believe Zacchaeus' heart was closer to the Lord than many give him credit for. And his excitement and his joy over having Christ come to his home reveals something special about Zacchaeus' heart. Maybe he wasn't the model religionist, but he was quick to receive Christ into his life. If Christ knocked at your door this morning, would it be a joyful experience or would you panic? In Luke chapter 12, verse 37 through 40, the Bible says, blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he comes, shall find watching. Verse 38, and if he shall come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. Verse 40 says, but be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man comes at an hour when you think not. Well, many of us, Christ isn't coming today. When is Christ coming? How should the Christian live thinking about if when is Christ coming? To the Christian, when is Christ coming? When? Today. Today. Christians ought to live their lives as though Jesus Christ, they fully expect Jesus Christ to come back today. Verse 7, and when they saw it, they all murmured. Here, let me back up. Zacchaeus heard that Christ was coming. He went out of his way and climbed up a tree to make sure he could see him. And when Christ rewarded him for his effort, the crowd again began to murmur. They began to murmur. Here, Zacchaeus is going to see Jesus, and the crowd's mocking. They're making, they're murmuring. Verse 7, and when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. Here is a good thing that is happening in this community, an exciting thing, and yet there will always be those that find fault with the good things of Christ. Murmuring has destroyed many a good work for the Lord Jesus Christ. Murmuring, whispering, and gossiping. In James chapter 3, verse 6, and by the way, James is the half-brother of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I believe what he's writing is absolutely truth. I believe it's Spirit-filled, and I believe it belongs to the church today. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defiles the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. I tell you this, my friend, if you have something to say about your brother, go talk to him. Don't talk to a group and then have the group talk to another group, and then lo and behold, your brother over here hears this. Don't you think he's deserving to know? If you have something that you're not happy about with him, go talk to him. In James chapter 3, verse 8, it says, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. I believe that. I believe it without a doubt, and you do too. When there should have been rejoicing, the human heart was judging and criticizing and destroying. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 10, Peter says this, for he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. The devil's ministers are quick to be on the scene when the good of Christ is abounding. Zacchaeus was so happy, so honored, and so humbled. Verse 8 says, and Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. Now, I want you to know something. Zacchaeus is not talking about ill-gotten gain here. He's talking about his legitimate possessions, goods that he knows are his alone. He is willing to separate himself from those and give to the poor. That's reflective of repentance, by the way. That's true repentance. And then he says, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And I believe that every one of us knows of some time in our past where we have wronged someone or procured something by false accusation. Zacchaeus was willing to acknowledge that fact, and he was willing to make things right again. Here is the perfect picture of repentance. What is repentance? It's more than just asking for forgiveness from God. It's turning from the old way and walking in the new. The Sunday school teacher asked her students, she says, what is repentance? And the little boy said, it's being sorry for your sin. But the little girl jumped up and she says, it's being sorry enough to quit. And that's right. Being sorry enough to quit. Zacchaeus repented of his sin and his actions proved his testimony. The Bible says that Zacchaeus was a rich man, unlike any other rich man that Christ had met, who was not willing, unlike another rich man that Christ had met, and you remember this, who was not willing to part with his money. Zacchaeus was willing to give half of what he owned to the poor, and further, he was willing to restore fourfold anything that he had taken from another by false accusation. Zacchaeus's repentance was more than just a verbal statement. He was willing to put his words into action. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. Was Zacchaeus saved because he was a son of Abraham? No, he was saved because his heart was a true heart of faith. Just like the heart of his father Abraham, Abraham is the father of all that believe. Zacchaeus was a true son of Abraham, a spiritual son. Every one of us this morning who claim the name of Christ are spiritual sons of Abraham because we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. Abraham was the father of faith. Zacchaeus was a son of Abraham. So Jesus went out of his way to see Zacchaeus. Jesus went out of his way to see Zacchaeus. Why? Why? Well, look at verse 10. Let's read that together. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. That's the reason he went out of his way. And by the way, he's gone way out of his way for you this morning. He's gone way out of his way for you and me this morning. And if knowing that, if we're Christians and we're off the beaten path, we ought to come back to the path that God wants us to be on. Zacchaeus went out of his way to see the Lord Jesus Christ. He climbed up in that tree. He was bound and determined that he wasn't going to miss Christ. But you know, many of us have received Christ as our Lord and Savior, and we live like the devil. We live like the devil. We live for the devil. How about you? The Scripture says, for those that have not made a commitment to Christ. The Bible says that the Bible doesn't say you have to come to church, you have to tithe to the church, you have to be a member of this church or that church in order to get into heaven. The Bible says if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now listen, knowing how simple God has made it, and by the way, let me also add Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, that by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it's a gift of God. God has given you a gift of eternal life. He just says you just need to open up your heart and receive it. You just need to open up your heart and receive it. And then when you open up your heart and receive that truth, God says he sends the Holy Spirit to take up abode in your life. And from that point on, the Holy Spirit becomes your counselor, your Christian counselor. And you walk through the day, and I can tell you what, you can either listen to the moving of the Holy Spirit, go out of your way to help serve and help encourage other Christians, or you can just disregard the moving of the Holy Spirit. But I tell you this, if you love the Lord Jesus, make him more than just the Savior. Make him the Lord of your life. Make him the Lord of your life. Have you gone out of your way this week? I know you've gone out of your way this morning, Sunday morning, to come to church. Isn't the Holy Spirit moving upon you in other ways that you might want to take some time just to go out of your way? You may not even have to go out of your home. Just take some time and pick up a phone. Take some time to sit down and write a card. I tell you what, I bet you Jaron would love to hear from folks from Powhatan Free Will Baptist Church. I went through boot camp. Many of you others went through boot camp. You know what it's like. Sometimes there's some sad days. It'd be nice to have cards coming. You can go out of your way. Just send him a card. I gave you the address. Is God the Lord of your life? Or is he just your Savior? You know, he can be your Savior, but also he needs to be the Lord of every day. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this morning we thank you for your word, Father. We thank you for your blessings, Father. We don't deserve one of them. We don't deserve one blessing that you pour out upon this church. Father, I thank you for those that have a desire to serve. I thank you, Father, for those that have a desire to follow. I thank you, Father, for those that have the wonderful gift of the Holy Spirit to where they can minister to one another in love. And Lord, and you've given them gifts for so many other services as well. Father, this morning, I pray if there's one here that's heartbroken for this reason or heartbroken for that reason, one that's here that's carrying a burden on their heart for this particular situation or that particular situation, Father, this altar's open this morning and they can come and meet you right here at this altar and just lay it down to you. Father, I pray that the Holy Spirit would minister and move upon that heart that needs you this morning. Father, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.